Broadcasting in the evenings on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk and in the afternoons on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, and it is my absolute privilege to welcome back Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater 3000. You can find him on Blue Sky. That's where he's most active nowadays, where he's roaming around over on Blue Sky. But we had to bring him on in here because Riff Tracks went out there and put on a Kickstarter to possibly live Riff Point Break, and that exceeded expectations beyond belief. They're doing it, it looks like, August 8th and August 13th. Bill is kind enough to join us to talk about that, politics, and the Oscars. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Matt. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you back, my friend. First of all, I want to ask you something about riffing, because you are a master of this, and it's not easy. But I think I learned something from watching someone else do it. And I'm not going to say any more there, but I watched someone else kind of doing the same thing, and I've learned something. If you have a bad movie, you've got to a point let that movie play out, because it doesn't do you any good to try to cover up everything with a joke. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. Is that a fair way to say,
Matt,
that?
From your words to my ears, my heart, you are exactly right. You know, and it's tempting because this is such a weird little comedy art form, and there's only like if I can even dignify it with that, but it's like there is a sort of method to it that we've just sort of like learned by default over the years. And part of it is, if it is a really bad movie, or even if it's not, actually, you do have to have like handholds for the jokes and for the bits and all that. So you can't just be yammering constantly, which feels wrong. It feels, a little bit cringy. Like, how much attention do you need, guys?
Mm-hmm. Well, and
you have to pick your battles and your moments.
And it does step all over each other. And I mean, and a really good joke. I mean, I get it. Sometimes it must be hard for you guys when you're sitting there and all three of you come up with, okay, these are all just A+ riffs. Which one you go with? But I mean, at the same time, to try to get all three of them in is just going to destroy it. Correct.
Absolutely, yeah. So a lot of what I do, especially with our final script, is edit stuff when it just gets a little too dense, or I shorten lines, because without the premise, the movie itself, our bits will just crash into each other. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to hear that.
That's one of the things I like about your riff tracks, is because, God, you do look at some of the worst movies, and sometimes it's just, you're all laughing together with you when you let a minute of that damn movie play out. It's just like, what is going on here? It's just crazy. And
go ahead, Matt.
No, by all means, sir.
Oh, the sound went out for a second, but we struggle with our own feeling. Like, we try to have provide value, and we have a bit of a work ethic. Like, people, all good people everywhere, we try to bring some value, but sometimes we overwrite it for that reason. It's like we should be doing something with that. And with certain movies, you just have to like take a breath, say, all right, we all saw that, and mm-hmm. that's sort of a laugh in itself, and then we'll comment later. But
you, since I know, and you and a lot of other people, a lot of performers, have kind of changed how you do things since the pandemic. You guys kind of now do it on a, kind of almost a case-by-case basis, and you kind of put out there, I think it was on Kickstarter, that, hey, if you want us to rip on Point Break, we can do that. It's just, here's what we need to make this happen, because obviously you need theaters, you need the technical stuff, it's a very complicated process, and your fans are amazing, because you guys had a pretty high number, and they didn't hit it in the second day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're really aware of how lucky we are, and we mm-hmm. knock wood and thank God every day for it, because first of all, we did get the rights to Point Break, like that was negotiated beforehand, but we do have to come up with money for it, and so there's that. So a lot of what we do is just sort of pre-sell a bunch of stuff, and then special stuff like VIP events and stuff like that, which I know, one of your radio station here in Minneapolis knows that. You've done that with guests.
Yes.
So we do kind of, have like sort of mundane awards, including like, we're going to do all these videos and you can have this full package at the next year. And then going up from there, I am writing custom-made limericks for 15 lucky question mark backers who bought this, and they will give me stuff about their lives, and I will, you know, do a first draft and send it back, and then I'll write it out and sign it. So that's sort of silly luxury stuff, I guess, to help these numbers.
Well, but doesn't that as well, I mean, because first of all, that's a brilliant idea. but doesn't that, I mean, endear yourself to the fans? I mean, it's one thing to have fans. One of the things, and we're going through a listener appreciation month right here on the station in Minneapolis, is, you know, to go on out there and give back to the fans. That's how you build that base. And I think that you guys have always been kind of front and center, and you understand these fans are there thick and thin through all the movies. And, you know, it shows. I mean, you don't have, as long as you guys have been doing this, you don't have a Kickstarter like that funded in 2 days unless you're giving back a lot. And I think that that shows.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thanks. I don't know if we're given, part of me wants to not take credit for that. Like, we're just trying to do our best. But, yeah, we've been with the same fans and their kids really now for decades. And they like what we do, luckily. And we have thanked them at every turn. And with stuff like this, it's a little eccentric to write poems for people. And my colleague Kevin Murphy actually does something similar, only he does like little individual jingles. Like he's really good with music software, so he'll like, I want a jingle about my dog or something like that, like a commercial jingle, and he'll do that. So we do have that personal connection, which is awesome. And we're just lucky. I can't say it any more than that.
Kevin is one of the funnier people you'll ever see in your life too.
He sings
witty.
Like an angel. He's got the voice of a Irish schoolboy.
The Point Break live riff is going to be, when is this, August 8th and 13th now?
Yeah, it's the 8th is, we're actually doing it live here in Minneapolis.
Wow.
Which is so exciting for us. We're bringing it home to the State Theater here in Minneapolis on July 27th. So if you're in Minneapolis and you want to see it live, that's come and spend some time with us. But then it's going to be broadcast through Fathom Events, our partner, to 700 plus movie theaters around the country on Thursday, August 8th, and then an encore of the same show on Tuesday, August 13th. So plenty of chances to see it.
Go to Riff Tracks as well. Just, you know, if you can't make this, but you want a great laugh, and nothing is better than Riff Tracks. They are so funny, and they got a pretty big catalog at this point.
Boy, do we ever.
So you'll be able to find something there. Go to Riff Tracks, and if you just want some of the clips from them, go to YouTube, because the clips just will kill you. They will just absolutely kill you. They're just brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do follow politics. And
I do indeed.
There is, I mean, the election season is one thing, but State of the Union is a pretty big deal. And yet here we had this yesterday. Biden came on out fiery, kind of with his agenda. The House Republicans primarily did exactly what they thought they were going to. We had the vampire from Salem's Lot do the rebuttal from Alabama. And it was over on, and Truth Social basically crashed when Trump was trying to live tweet angry things at Joe Biden.
He should talk to the owner.
Yeah. What is your thought from yesterday in the State of the Union yourself?
My personal thought was that Biden well exceeded expectations, whatever they are. You know, I've seen him do this before, like go beyond what people think he's going to do. Last year he did it, the State of the Union. But there's been so much ink about him being old and decrepit that it's gotten out of control, I think, that people forget. No, he's actually up there swinging haymakers. That's his, and he's very comfortable doing that. Yeah. He's been in the game for a long time. But it's always funny to me that basically everybody becomes like basically a theater critic about this stuff, you know, and that's how like the national media puts it in terms of he was fiery and vigorous and, you know, and the substance was great though. The substance itself was music to my ears on all these different fronts that I kind of feel like it's almost getting lost in the fact that he wasn't, you know, shuffling like, Tim Conway and the Carol Burnett show, you know, that he actually delivered it. And the howling monkeys were throwing their poo and That's all expected. So it is a big theatrical event. It's kind of designed that way. But it's but also the substance of it was, you know, when they say fiery and feisty, it wasn't just attitude. It was like he was calling out his predecessor. And we really have not had that situation for a long time where a guy is running who lost last time. And he did not mince words, which I was very pleased to hear.
He is not, he does not shy away. As a matter of fact, he looks forward to the taunting. And I think this is a, you know, the guy's been doing this for so long. I mean, he, as you mentioned last night, he went into the Senate at, what, 29? So he knows how to deal with a heckler like a comedian. And these guys, these people that worship the internet trolls in the House think that they're witty and they have no idea what they're going up against. And they just, he schooled them time and time again by just looking in their faces and saying, no, you're wrong and stop being stupid. And they just didn't have a response for that.
Absolutely. And you know what? He does this, he does what I think has been called like the happy warrior thing, which is he doesn't get rattled. He brings it out. He faces it with a sense of humor. But he doesn't take any guff either, you know. So that happy warrior is, I think, the perfect stance for a Democrat or any politician who wants to get by, which is, look, I'm not taking this seriously, I'm not taking it personally, but I'm going to give you grief back for your BS about it. And so, yeah, definitely the you saw the chops from decades. I also love the fact that he took, like, forever to get to the podium. He's just such, like, a politician to the gills. You know, you got to shake everybody's hand. And I think he just loves that part of it. And there's a lot of politicians who don't. He just loves hobnobbing.
Well, I want to ask you, he gets down there. He taunts Marjorie Taylor Greene right to her face. And I mean, just one look from the guy made Marjorie Taylor Greene run away. I mean, just he just starts looking at her and laughing. And she just had no response to that. And, you know, she does this. What is it about the rebuttals for the Republicans that they just, I mean, Katie Britt, who I think most of us had no idea who she was. And I don't think we're going to know too much more. I mean, that was, I don't quite know what that was outside of it was, you know, angry woman just screaming at the wind. And I just felt as if, you know, I've heard her speak before. She's not that bad. But it's something about these State of the Union rebuttals that these guys just get so just psyched out and they end up just imploding.
Absolutely. This is what, you know, this is becoming a tradition unto itself. Like some young buck gets up there to try to make it happen. You know, like Bobby Jindal, what's his name? Florida. You know, I mean, with the water.
Rubio.
Every one of them just like trips over their own feet and She was a special kind of weird last night because she tried to start pleasant and then she, again, it just feels like theater criticism on one level. Just like, you don't know how to do this at all. Why are you trying? Because you're bad at it. In fact, there's an actress, a very good actress, Carrie Coon, who's been in a bunch of TV shows, who's, I think it was on Twitter, she just said, I have some notes, Katie, with her comment. It's like, everybody pegged that as false. I think even Republicans are running from it as like an embarrassing spectacle.
Yeah, they tried.
Not to mention the set, which I understand was her own kitchen, but it looked like a generic, you know, model home, you know, stripped of personality.
I believe you were the one that, didn't you say it was the Bluth model home from
Russia? Yeah, there's the Bluth model home. Like, nothing there.
Yes. You know, we want you in the kitchen, but we want to make it look like you've never done anything in the kitchen, you know.
I know. Like, what are we trying to say? And it was dark. There was no, I mean, it really looked weirdly sinister for what it was supposed to. You know, what their intentions were.
And you're right. And they made it look sinister. And then her, this tone, it was like, what are you doing? I mean, are you trying to summon a demon? I mean, it really was. You know, maybe she is the witch. I don't know. I'll tell you what, Bill, let's
Christine O'Donnell.
Let's take a quick break, if that's all right. I want to come back. I want to touch on the Oscars and once again tell people where they can find more Riff Track stuff, if that's okay. Bill Corbett, kind enough to join us from Riff Track's MST3K. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Friday.
Warmth in your eyes, swept me into your arms. Wizard.
is the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday, 952-946-6205. Bill Corbett from RiffTrax, kind enough to join us today. Bill, you will be, I'm presuming you're going to be watching the Oscars, or is that one you kind of avoid?
No, I do watch them, but this year I've been really lax in seeing the movies that are nominated. I was just, while we had the commercial break, I was looking them over, and like, I've seen 3 out of 10 of the Best Picture nominated, so I'm going in a little bit ignorant, I must admit.
Wouldn't you say, I mean, okay, of the movies, I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to say of these four, these are the three of them are the, of this four. The Holdovers, Barbie, Oppenheimer, or Killers of the Flower Moon. Are those, does that contain the three that you've seen?
It, yes. The only one I haven't seen of that is The Holdovers.
Yeah. Those movies, particularly Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Killers of the Flower Moon, they had relatively large releases, and obviously Barbie was a huge hit. Oppenheimer was, you know, kind of a cinema masterpiece, and of course the lineup for Killers of the Flower Moon, you really couldn't go wrong with that. I think the rest of them, I mean, I felt a little sorry for Bradley Cooper for his Maestro, because it sounds like that's a very good film. It never really kind of got the publicity that it needed to kind of push itself towards the front of the pack.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, unfortunately, it got a little bit of negative publicity in the beginning when production photos came out and Bradley Cooper, who's playing Leonard Bernstein, the conductor, had a sort of a prosthetic nose. And people are like, what are you doing here? It's like, you're playing a Jewish person, so you're doing that. But yeah, I think there also might be the fact that it's about a conductor who's, you know, been dead for a couple of decades and maybe didn't really sizzle the steak as much as he'd hoped.
Well, and I also wonder if there was a little bit of that, which was, you remember, Tar with Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's just, okay, we get it. Music people are complicated. I don't know if we want to do that.
Maybe not a third conductor movie next year, please.
Can I just say Barbie, I mean, I it definitely deserves to be there. I said this at the beginning of this hour, how they threaded the needle on that one. That movie could have gone a million ways from Sunday showing up on a RiffTrax in the future. But that you know, Greta Gerwig somehow managed to figure out exactly how to put that movie out. And it's a really good movie. I'm stunned that she was not nominated for Best Director.
So was I, because, I mean, she is getting nominated for screenplay,
yes,
which she wrote with... And it's weird because it's called an adapted screenplay, which is a bit odd because it's like, it's a toy. It doesn't really have a story, you know, but she wrote it with Noah Baumbach, who is her partner, maybe her husband.
He's
a director in his own right. So she deserves that. But I actually thought that didn't really do it. It was just such a visually interesting and, I don't know, inspired in its own weird way. And I know my daughter, you know, my college-age daughter loved it, and my wife loved it. I loved it, too. I thought it was really fun and silly, but still had a little bit of punch to it. So I think she deserved to be nominated for director, for sure.
Is Oppenheimer going to mop up? I mean, it really, of all the films on this list, that's the one you know, I don't think you want to put money against it.
If I were a betting man, I would say yeah. Oppenheimer all the way. Put the pot in on Oppenheimer.
And it's also one of those stories where it is a gripping story. I mean, you're under time constraints, you're dealing with nuclear bombs, you know, you gotta try to deal with spies. You have all these weird, quirky people that are involved. It kind of almost is a surprise they never really made a major movie of this before, but they did pull it off, and top to bottom the cast was spectacular.
Yeah. And I'm just going to correct you and say they did make a movie about this before. It was called Fat Man and Little Boy.
Oh, that's right. Paul Newman.
I think it was in the 80s or 90s. Paul Newman played the general that Matt Damon did this time. I think Paul Newman to step up personally. But and Sam, who played? I think it was Sam Waterston.
John Cusack was in. John Cusack was in that one. Yeah, I remember that one. You're right.
Yeah, this was really interesting. I mean, just all the quirky personalities and the politics of it, and the sequence where they actually test it was spectacular. It was terrifying in its own way, but it was really, really well done.
So that's going to be coming up here. If it's not Oppenheimer, if it's not, just I'll put you on the spot. If it's not Oppenheimer, what movie pulls the upset, do you think?
I think, although I have not seen it, just the way that people are talking about it, it'll be holdovers. I don't think it would be Killers of the Flower Moon. They just don't like giving Martin Scorsese awards. I also think that that was a movie that didn't really hit like with the critics as much. But they love Paul Giamatti. Mm-hmm. Paul Giamatti, by the way, a guy I have worked with. I just want to say that's how famous I am. He did a play of mine years ago, and he was, of course, great. And he's a lovely guy. So I'm pulling for him on a personal level, and I should really see it.
Well, I think if anyone wins actor besides Oppenheimer, it's going to be him. And also, I think Killers of the Flower Moon, Lily Gladstone is, I mean, she was everything in that movie. I mean, nothing against De Niro and DiCaprio, they were fine, but she just was so stunning in that movie that how she doesn't win, I don't know.
I think she will. Think she will. She's already been sweeping other awards, and she's just very quietly powerful.
Yeah. All right. So, well, we'll have to see where you go. I'll taunt you on Blue Sky.
Please do.
We'll taunt you on Blue Sky if we're both wrong. And by the way, I do want to remind people that Bill is primarily on Blue Sky now. I'm on Blue Sky. I like it quite a bit. Go to Blue Sky, get yourself an account. You don't need a subscription code or anything anymore. You can just sign up and follow Bill there. And then Riff Tracks, once again, because of the successful Kickstarter, when are you guys riffing on Point Break?
Well, we're going to be doing it. You can see it in theaters around the country August 8th, and then the show, the encore show, the same show on the 13th. Or if you're in the Twin Cities area and you want to come see us live, it's the State Theater on July 27th. It's going to be fun.
All righty. Bill, of course, and Riff Tracks. Go to Riff Tracks. Go to YouTube on Riff Tracks. Go to the website. Find all this stuff. You want a good laugh. You want to spend some time this weekend laughing. Go to Riff Tracks. You'll have a great time with that. Bill, as always, an absolute privilege and a pleasure to chat with you. Congratulations on the new Kickstarter. Congratulations to all your fans who stepped up because we all benefit from this.
Man.
And by all means, anytime you want to come back, my friend, please do, okay?
Thanks, Matt. Nice to talk to you.
Nice chatting with you. Bill Corbett, Riff Tracks. Love him. I love him. He is great. And, I should have him on for a full hour just to talk politics because he's really good at it. If he ever wants to, he can stop riffing and he actually could probably become a good pundit. So, Chicago, have a great week and we'll talk to you on Monday. Minneapolis-St. Paul, hour 2 up next.